This week's episode of Boom Takalaka is brought to you by Del Taco. Yes, Del Taco, home of the Fresco Bowls. Head on over to your local Del Taco today to find out what makes them so unfreshing believable. And while you're there, don't forget to ask if they have any more Sonic Boom Clash Cubes kids meals in the back. Sega Bits and Sonic Retro present Boom Takalaka, a podcast with two guys in their late 20s talking about Sonic Boom. Now here they are, Barry and David.
Try this video game. You run, roll, and collect rings as fast as you can.
Ah, that sounds terrible.
Life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Boom Takalaka, the second show on the internet devoted to talking about Sega's Sonic the Hedgehog spin-off, other branch, franchise Sonic Boom. I'm Barry from Sega Bits. With me is David from Sonic Retro. Hello, David.
Oh, hello, Barry. How are you today?
I'm great. I cannot wait to talk about the boom, as I call it.
I've been thinking about Sonic Boom nonstop since we last spoke.
And it has been a while. Yes, it has been months ago. I'll admit that things got busy, but also, you know, Sonic Boom is not a very story-rich franchise. You know, you look at the last 7 comic books, I could talk about those 10 minutes and I think we'd cover everything.
Yeah, it's not exactly... I mean, even Sonic X sort of had, hey, we got a story. It's going on. There's an episode. There's another episode. It's a continuing story. Not that I'm saying I want Sonic X back or anything.
Sonic X, yeah. Well, you know, it's like an Archie comic, like a good old-fashioned Archie comic or a Casper story where you kind of know what you're going to get. There's not too much to discuss.
Yeah.
But we'll try to do that. We'll try to stretch this out for an hour. Today we are going to be talking about, believe it or not, there's still things to talk about with the games, even though Sega have kind of swept those under the rug. We also have the TV show, which is still going on strong, probably the strongest aspect of the franchise, and the comics. And then we're going to conclude things with a little our feelings. We'll share our feelings and our opinions. to kick things off, let's talk about some news regarding the games. These are both stories that actually came from Sonic Stadium. Just talk about Sega Bits and Sonic Retro. Credit is given where credit is due.
There are other Sonic sites out there.
There are way too many Sonic sites out there, in my opinion. Sonic Boom, this first one, it is in-store signage, concepts of in-store signage for places like Toys R Us, and I guess it's called Smith's.
Is that a real place or is that just made up?
It's real. It's real. I'm sure all the British fans are like,
no, gosh. We're not getting sponsored by Smith's. I'll tell you that.
It's called Smith's, and me gran took me there to buy me some Tintin comics. And some Doctor Who merchandise. But there's some pretty interesting concepts here. Just scrolling through these images, which you can find on Sonic Stadium if you just search for in-store concepts.
Right.
Okay, some. I'm just looking at a woman's backside. This mom who's like looking at Sonic toys.
She is so lost. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Very lost.
I would be lost too. And I know what's going on. So.
These are concepts. I think some people have looked at these and said, wow, this is what Sega hoped would happen had the franchise taken off. But honestly, I feel like this is probably something Sega approached a store signage firm and said, just go all out and we'll pick and choose what we want. And clearly, Sega probably doesn't have as much money to throw at some of these concepts.
Taking over an entire store, especially when it's like, well, there were two games, and it's not like the TV show was released on DVD. I mean, it's not out on home video at all yet, right?
So, right.
I mean, there's only so much that you could shove in there. But there's some interesting things, like, hey, there's that it's not a bubble pit. It's just more like an inflatable ring with giant balls that say Sonic Boom, and I guess you can hide out in those. That,
you see a child's leg coming out from under one of them, like he got crushed to death.
Like, I kind of want to know what's going on there, but at the same time, I don't.
Yes, of course.
And the test your strength, that you know, fun little thing.
I mean, I feel like a lot of these are probably pre-existing items that Sega could purchase from this company, like giant ball pit and test your strength.
And the what's the game, the iPhone, what was it, the I'm
like an augmented reality game.
Yeah, like treasure hunts. It's like a treasure hunting game where you hold through, and like that would be something interesting, but I don't know if they ever really seriously considered it. And I also feel like that was something presented at a different time for another Sonic related item, and they were like, oh, we can have this treasure hunting augmented reality game connected to that too, and it never actually materialized.
Right. And there's one here. Remember. That people got really excited about. It was like a Dr. Eggman store takeover, including art that they probably found either from Sega, or they probably just went to Sonic Retro and found this stuff of the Dr. Eggman's vehicles from, I think, Generations, at least one of them.
Yeah, definitely not Boom.
No. this gun robot, I think, I mean, I know that's Sonic Adventure 2, but I'm assuming maybe that came from the recent remaster that they had some assets for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not entirely sure, but I will say that I like the guy who's dressed up as Dr. Eggman, just standing there.
He just wandered into the picture. I don't think they actually hired him. So, you know, some interesting things. There's actually a boy's shirt I see that says, "You gotta flash the stash."
Yeah.
For little boys.
I want that shirt. I think I... Because I know that they released the action figures, which, you know, it's not getting a lot of shelf space, but they exist.
Yeah.
All this other stuff, like clothing, I can't say I've seen a lot of Boom clothing.
Same here.
I don't know if there's actually any that you can go out and buy.
Yeah, it could have just been some mock-ups they threw on there. They have the games down there. So, I'd say if people think these things are like a sign of what was going to happen, because I see here they're saying, oh, in hindsight, it's pretty sad this didn't happen. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of things we see. There was something, actually, speaking of augmented reality in Sonic. Remember that it was a site that someone found, and it was a pitch for Sega where it was like, people would walk and then their steps would be recorded for like a Sonic game or something. It was like, you're in a Sonic game.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember, but it was just escaping me. Yeah. Right. And it was this huge thing. It was pitched to Sega, and Sega said, no, we don't want this.
Yeah.
So I find it kind of funny that this other pitch includes something similar, I guess, because that's the cool thing to do now.
Now, interestingly, Sega did do a AR experience at E3 last year, I think it was E3, with the alien egg pod, where you went and walked around and you'd track where something was, and when you found it, you'd get to play Isolation. So that could have been something from this developer, this company.
Maybe.
Yeah. So anyway, overall, it's iPad remote-controlled inflatable drones. I don't know if stores want drones flying around their store. This one... This actually has real people on like a bungee cord over an escalator on palm trees.
Doesn't seem safe.
No. It looks like they're going to smash their head on the center escalator as they come down. Boy.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird things going on here, but.
Yeah. But, you know, it
even if a handful of it had happened, I mean, it would have been fun to go into a store, see a huge push with Sonic all over the place. Because even, like, in the past, I don't remember huge displays, like, aside from, hey, here's a bunch of game covers for Sonic 2 or Sonic 3, but nothing, like, really,
right?
You know, nothing ever really in your face, even when Sonic was at his height. nothing this big ever happened.
Right. And your Sonic in your face reference was clearly to the Archie Comics.
Oh yes.
One-off 48-page special Sonic in your face.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So let's move on to this other piece of gaming news. This is something
breaking.
Nah, you know, to be fair, just like the, I don't want to play it down again, but this is, it's some fans came across some work that was posted on a former employee of Big Red Button. They might still work there, I'm not sure. Heads up display designs and other things. And they noted that Sonic Boom was originally called Sonic Synergy, which I'm assuming was a working title for the game. More than a actual something that we would see by the end of the product. The one interesting thing was that I believe Stephen Frost used the word synergy a bit. So it was definitely a buzzword at the time.
And I can understand why they would reach towards that word, because if, you know, the focus of the game is the four characters working together constantly on the screen, so there's like a synergy between them. And they probably didn't want to use the word heroes, you know, because then that would be like, oh, remember that game in 2004 that you didn't quite like?
Yeah.
But we're doing it again.
Yeah.
But this time Sonic has a scarf. It's fine.
And they also remember that in the game they have the Ener beams. Maybe they were called Synergy beams at one point. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not. But it's an interesting little factoid. The one thing that I was kind of kicking myself over was that there's this image in Big Red Button Studio that people were looking at well over a year ago. I feel it's been over a year. And you can see all this concept art on a corkboard, and everyone was spending so much time looking at the concept art, they kind of failed to look behind the guy's head, and you can see Sonic, S-Y-N, clearly not Boom. So,
with the logo, the fancier logo.
Yeah.
That.
I like that.
It kind of, yeah, it sort of evokes the Sonic and Knuckles logo.
Yeah. Especially with Sonic and Knuckles' heads right next to each other.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, it's a shame that the Sonic and Knuckles logo is so unique in, what's the words I'm thinking about? You know, because all the other logos for Sonic's, like there's the words, or you'll see Sonic doing a pose. Sonic and Knuckles, that logo is pretty unique in the tapestry of the Sonic the Hedgehog mythos. Yes. And the fact that Sonic Synergy kind of evokes that uniqueness, it's like, oh man, that gets me excited about a game that I know is not that great.
So you're saying Sega needs to re-release Sonic Boom and just call it Sonic Synergy with this logo, and you'd be like, I'll pick it up.
I'll spend upwards of $60 having that on the cover.
And I think that's more than the game costs. So I think it was a $5 game. So you're kind of selling yourself a little right there. It's an interesting little factoid, I guess. There is some more information here, again, on Sonic Stadium.
Right.
Talking about the heads-up display, showing pictures of them. Not as informational. I don't know. I don't find it as interesting as the name. But then again, I'm not a big heads-up display dork. I will say, though, the game didn't really use a heads-up display that well, if at all, on the Wii U pad. You had to leave the game to look at the map, even though they could have put the map on the gamepad the entire time.
Yeah, it's basically just saying, hey, we had some ambition, we wanted things to look nice, but we never got to that point.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a
running theme with Sonic Boom.
Yeah.
Ambition.
Right, like the fact that, hey,
early ambition.
Like the, yeah. Because wasn't there a video just, you know, released not that long ago showing the hub world, and it looks way prettier than it does on the Wii U. So it's like they were hoping for more, and it just never got there.
Yeah.
Oh, but you didn't mention that in the concept for the results screen, you see Sonic the Hedgehog with some curious arms.
Yes, that's a good point. I'm sure some crazed fans would be happy to see a picture of Sonic with some tan arms right now. But
he was out in the sun.
Yeah,
his arms got tan.
Amy has tan arms.
Yeah, but I mean, those stuck around. She still has tan arms in the. Yeah, I don't get it. It was a design choice, but at the same time, because of the scarf, the tan arms kind of look a little off. Mm-hmm. So it's either Sonic has tan arms or Sonic has the scarf, and I get that they wanted Sonic to look different. I'm not saying that, because if it was just Sonic, blue arms, but everything else is normal, it wouldn't look right. You need the interrupting of color. So when you compare the tan arm scarf Sonic with the blue arm scarf Sonic, it kind of makes sense why they went with the blue arms, even if it still enrages people that get upset over eyes and other bits,
heads and shoulders and so I feel like as the months go on, we're gonna have less and less game news. So that's all I can really think of in terms of gaming news.
Right.
Stephen Frost is out there, but he's not really talking about the games.
Stephen,
if you're listening to us, I really wanted to talk to you on our SegaBits podcast, please.
Right.
We had good questions. We're nice people. Anyway, moving on to television news. This is the bright spot in the center of the Sonic Boom universe. Well, the games is, what is it that Luke Skywalker quote? It's the thing furthest from. Anyway, we have a slew of episodes that have come out since the last time we talked about them. We are not going to talk about every single one, but I think we could just run through the titles, maybe say a few things about these episodes.
Right.
The last one we spoke about was episode 8, episode 9, and we're all the way through to episode 24.
Right, so we're hitting the halfway point.
Yeah,
there were there's supposed to be 50. Yeah, 52. Right, that was the amount that they said they were working on, or the amount that was ordered. It is a little confusing with, like, is of those 52 that were announced originally, is the season 2 part of that 52, or are they producing more? You know, it's a little.
Yeah, and I'll just mention that now. The Sonic Boom was announced as having, I'm not exactly sure if it's a season 2 or if basically Cartoon Network said we will be seeing it in the 2016 broadcast season. So we're not sure if after the halfway point they're going to hold those episodes and air them next year or later this year. I guess we'll know once we reach the halfway point if the show starts doing reruns.
Right, because I guess it's currently.
It's halfway though, right now.
Yeah, like episode 26 airs not this Saturday, but next Saturday, and then because this is May 7th at the time of recording, should make that clear.
Yes,
but 27 and 28 are already on the schedule for the following weeks, so
we could see all 52 episodes, and they might already be producing new ones.
Right. So, yeah, the season 2 comment is a little off, but I mean, it's not unusual for season markers to not exactly be right in animated series. I mean, Sonic X, they split what was season 1 in Japan into, what, 3 seasons or something, you know, weird like that.
That's true. Yeah.
When they aired it on 4Kids way back in the day, because season 5 was season 2 or series 2 in Japan. Sorry. You know, yeah. I don't get it. It makes sense. But there's more coming. That's all.
More to come. Maybe they'll put us in an episode. No, I'm just kidding.
They already put me in an episode.
That's true. They did. They don't have a bear yet. Maybe they can make him be not a bear, because that's always too expected. Let's go through these episodes though. Episode 9, Guilt Tripping. This one featured Sonic and Tails saving a village from thieves, and then the villagers constantly guilt trip them into staying there. Do you remember this one?
I do remember it. I enjoyed it. I
thought it was,
yes.
Moving on. No. it's also important to note too, they stopped doubling up episodes at this time. episodes, at least as far as November 22nd, they were doubling them up, and then they started airing one a week. So they're kind of stretching them out a bit.
What they do is they air the new one, and then they air the previous week's episode right after. So it's still a half-hour block. So if you missed last week, you're fine. But if you're like most people and have a DVR, because we're in 2015, then it's kind of a waste. But
So I enjoyed that one. The one I really enjoyed was the next episode, and I think a lot of people did. Episode 10, Dude, Where's My Eggman? Where Orbot and Cubot wake up without a recollection of the previous day's event, and they learn that Dr. Eggman is missing. And I feel like the series is at its strongest when they kind of do these format-bending episodes where they're playing with time or narrative structure. And also the whole putting Orbot and Cubot at the forefront reminds me of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which is always a positive for me.
The resurrection of Scratch and Grounder.
Yes. What did you think of this one?
Well, I mean, I'm always a fan of any episode that focuses on Dr. Eggman and his motley crew.
Yes.
So, yes, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. I like this. We'll do thumbs up or thumbs down. All right, I give that a thumbs up too. Episode 11, Cowbot. Eggman's killing machine, a Cowbot, decides to take revenge on its creator, and Sonic has no choice but to protect Eggman. I didn't like this one as much. I'm giving it a thumb sideways, something that has never been done on this one. But since they're not around anymore, they can't stop me. It was kind of like the same joke stretched out. You know, the cow is slow. It's coming to get him. Sonic needs to protect Eggman. Kind of forgettable. Then again, yeah. It was New Year's Eve. So when this aired, no, I'm just kidding. It wasn't. It was January 31st. I messed up.
Right,
anyway,
a month later,
but
you're still
me,
celebrating.
I celebrate
you're
New Year's hungover. Every night. Yeah. Yes. no excuses. Then I was trying to like excuse it for my like drunkenness, but I only drink once a year. No, I don't. What'd you think of this one?
Yeah. It took me a minute to remember. I guess I really like the parts with Sonic and Eggman interacting while they're just hanging out, doing whatever. Like I really enjoy the interactions between Sonic and Eggman through most of the series. But other than that, the rest of it was just kind of blah. So maybe a slightly tilted up sideways.
This is the crap that people give video game reviewers. They say, your scales are too big. And so here we are trying to make it a thumbs up, thumbs down system. And now we've gone to doing degrees. So we're like, 30 degrees. Positive there. It's kind of
I give it a 7 out of 10. Do not buy.
Yes, exactly. 8 out of 10. Please do not waste your money on this one. I will give you that. I think Sonic Boom. I think in general, out of all the franchises we have out there, Sonic Boom is probably the best one when it comes to Sonic and Eggman interaction, just because they are so. He's not such a threat. If you remember on Saturday morning one, it was like, if you're in the room with Eggman, you're dead. Like, it's like Darth Vader. Like, people are like, oh my God, it's Eggman.
Right.
You don't want him near you. And so you hardly ever see them interact.
In the Adventures of the syndicated series, mm-hmm. while they would interact way more, and if Sonic and Robotnik were in the same room, it wasn't like, oh, Sonic, you're about to die or you're in peril. But you never got the sense that they liked each other, that there was that Robotnik respected Sonic in any way whatsoever. But in this show, there is that weird camaraderie between the two, even though they're not exactly friends, but they're not exactly enemies. And it's the dynamic that I enjoy and kind of would like to see more in the games, mm-hmm. even though not exactly the same, because you still need Sonic to fight Eggman, because that's what a video game's about.
Yeah.
You're doing things. So.
But maybe that's what Sonic Boom has. I think Sonic Boom without a game is at its best, mm-hmm. because they don't have to rely on the fact that you need them fighting.
Yeah. Because when I watch, you know, a few episodes in succession, I find myself kind of bored by the moments where, oh, Sonic's hitting the robots, even though it's like maybe it only takes up 30 seconds of the episode. It's where the writers are maybe told, hey, you need Sonic to fight something at some point. But that's not really the focus. That's not what the writers are interested in. And, you know, I would be okay if at some point maybe you don't have scenes where Sonic has to pop a moto bug on the head and Amy has to smack something with her hammer and just focus on the more character interaction. Mm-hmm. Just because the show really isn't the action adventure series that some of the other shows have been. It's different. And there's nothing wrong with exploring different aspects of a franchise, especially one that's been around for over 20 years, you know?
True. Well, interestingly, episode 12, Circus of Plunders, was actually one of the first episodes where you did not have Eggman as the villain. It was actually T.W. Barker, a circus owner, who has since shown up in later episodes under different roles. I believe he was a lawyer in another one.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, but what did you think of this one where they kind of mixed it up with the whole villain thing, even though I think there were robots in the end?
I mean, I'm okay with robots. It's Sonic. You need robots in some capacity. No. I'm trying to remember. It was all right. Yeah. It wasn't terrible. But I mean, you definitely feel the lack of Eggman.
Yeah.
TW is not as captivating a character. So he's someone that works better like on the sidelines when he's the lawyer. And if they were like, oh, let's spend 7 episodes focusing on him, it wouldn't have worked. So it's okay.
Yeah.
With him like being, hey, we need someone different than Eggman, why not? But we're not going to really have him be a driving force.
He's kind of the Dr. Quark from Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog of the series. He's like, he's a threat, but he's no Eggman.
Or Mammoth Mogul, but actually interesting to some degree.
Exactly. Years from now, we'll see Knuckles is like beefed up ancestor being trained by T.W. Barker, maybe. No, that's a bad Adventure or Archie Sonic reference. Anyway, moving on. Unlucky Knuckles. In this episode, this episode, Knuckles suffers extreme bad luck, and then if I remember correctly, Styx has a whole thing about the luck balance and she's acting all crazy. I haven't talked about Styx that much. She's not my favorite character. Kind of gets on my nerves. I know the point of the character is to get on your nerves, but it just kind of seems like conspiracy theories and then, I don't know. And the weird thing is I really like the voice actress though. She plays Asajj Ventress on The Clone Wars, and I actually tried to get her on for a SegaBits podcast. I was like, hey, Sonic, you know, I'm a big Star Wars fan and I don't get to talk about Star Wars much. So if I can get someone who worked on it and on Sonic, then win-win. But she ignored me. Steven.
Oh, no.
Oh.
maybe everyone who's worked on Sonic Boom are under strict NDAs where they're not allowed to ever admit it existed.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. Maybe that taints my liking of the character. Maybe that's why. No, it's not. I don't hate her. It's just when she's put front and center, I really don't enjoy the episode as much. As mentioned on a previous episode, Buster, I believe, was my least favorite. That's a big thumbs down. That's my least favorite episode of the show. And yet My Fair Styxy was a good one. So what do I know? Wasn't the best, but it was a good one.
Well, I mean, it probably just depends on the writer if they have anything interesting to do with her, and they're not just mandated to have her stand there and scream something.
Good point.
I mean, I'm trying to remember now. I will say that I liked it.
Good. All right, moving on. Episode The Meteor. I really like this one. Sonic and Eggman switch brains, causing one to act like the other. This was a cool episode. I said, I like format benders and I like Sonic and Eggman episodes, so to have them switch brains was fun. It was very Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog-y, as I always say.
you can't go wrong with a little bit of Adventures of. I mean, it was playing with similar themes as the one with the cookies. I can't remember the name of the episode now, but I mean, it didn't feel like, oh, it's the same episode, even though it dealt with, hey, you know, Sonic's being Eggman and Eggman's being Sonic. It was same idea, different approach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving it quite the thumbs up. Quite the thumbs up. That's like a thumbs up and then actually lifting my hand above waist level.
I'm doing it too. And I rarely move my hand up above waist level. So that's, yeah, no. Yeah, definitely a good one. Must buy. Go out and buy that one. Wait, you can't buy any of these. next episode, Aim Low. This is, I think we're starting to move into territory where we may not have seen some of these episodes. So I think once we reach a point where we haven't seen them, we'll move on to the next section here. Aim Low, Eggman fails to defeat Sonic and his friends, so he hires a motivational speaker named Edgar Eagle. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Soar the Eagle to help defeat them. This was a fun one. Had kind of a, what's that motivational speaker's name?
Tim Robbins?
Yeah, like a Tim Robbins Eagle. Tony Robbins. It's Tim Robbins.
I don't know who
Tim Robbins was in the Shawshank Redemption.
No, it was him.
Anyway.
Him and Tony are the same. They're brothers,
the
right?
Eagle. It's a fun Eggman episode. He tries to get Eggman to feel better about himself. It's nice seeing new characters like Soar the Eagle. I like that they went with the naming convention, like Sonic the Hedgehog. That's always fun.
Right. Dr. the Eggman.
Yes, of course. what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I will give it a thumbs up. Yes.
Excellent. Thumbs up as well. This next one, How to Succeed in Evil Without Really Trying. I actually watched a lot of episodes today in an effort to catch up. Tails has a new machine. It destroys a local orchard, and he joins the Lightning Bolt Society and becomes an evil genius. This is an interesting one. It brings back a lot of former characters, including that big tusked guy. And of course, Dave is in it.
Oh, yeah, I'm in it. I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm in a cloak.
Yeah.
That's how I sit around the house, actually. So,
So I give this one a 90 degree. I don't really know what that degree is, but 90.
It depends where you start.
90 out of 100.
Yeah.
would watch again. It was fun. It was a fun episode.
Right. I mean, I liked how Tails was, you know, because he's supposed to be one of the smartest guys in the room, but he just, it just completely blindsided him that, hey, all these people are supposed to be evil, partly because none of them are very good at being evil in the first place.
Right, of course.
And it's funny that Tails just acting, you know, trying to do something smart and it not working was causing more evil things to happen than anyone was trying to do on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Fun little things. It's a plus. I give it a yes. A give watch. Yes.
Watch this
give
one.
It a yes. Watch, yes. This. Watch them all. Oh,
yeah.
I feel like we're not being negative enough.
I know, right? Don't judge me. Eggman fakes a neck injury after a battle. He sues Sonic for damages and sends him to court. This is one we've heard about a lot when the series was kicking off. I remember they said that Sonic and Eggman go to court. This was probably one of the first plots we heard about, and people were like, wow, really? They have a courtroom trial? What do you think about this one? Did you watch this one?
I did. I'm pretty sure I'm up to the latest episode that aired, unless I missed one. But, you know, because it's been a while. I watched it when it aired on March 14th, 2015,
yes.
And I haven't watched it since. So, it's, you know, it's a couple months old in my head, but I remember enjoying most of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. You know, right, because that's the one where
WT,
that guy, he comes back. I should know that because you just said it like 5 minutes ago. But yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, I liked it. And I also like the next one.
You like the next one, too? That's Dr. Eggman's tomato sauce. I enjoyed that as well. Everyone likes his tomato sauce, and it turns out the cans are evil robots. Good one. Thumbs up. Let's move on to Soul Power. I kind of want to burn through these.
Yeah.
I feel like people might have been tuning out. Soul Power, Sonic produces a deafening tone when he runs that he can't explain. Eggman gives him new shoes, but then it turns out that the shoes are a trap. They're actually powering his robot, so when Sonic runs, the robot has power. Not the best plan, because Sonic clearly just runs really fast and breaks the robot. But I feel like this Eggman, he's more experimental. He feels he can get away with more, so why not?
Yeah, because it's not like Sonic, after he defeats Eggman, is going to go, okay, now you're under arrest. He's like, yeah, go home. We'll do this tomorrow.
Exactly.
Because if they weren't interacting with each other, I think they would both get incredibly bored. If Sonic left the island, Eggman wouldn't know what to do with himself. If Eggman left the island, Sonic would also be in the same boat. They need each other. They're very codependent.
Yes. I mean, if Eggman doesn't really seem that hell-bent on taking things over. It's more like he's hanging out at his place. He wants to do something that's a little evil. Sonic keeps him in check. It's more of that dynamic. Bad. Hedgehog Day. This one's cool. It's like a Groundhog Day kind of spoof. Eggman's new machine causes an infinite time loop. Now, this one, I do not believe I've seen. Have you seen this one?
I did see this one, yes.
I saw this one, but I had something going on in the house, so I kind of was half watching.
It's the one that has the line, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, and it's repeated many times. And I'm not going to lie, I like the fact it's called Hedgehog Day, because, hey, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, released on Hedgehog Day. It all ties together.
Gives us something to watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the writers had no idea.
That's likely the case.
Yeah, but it was cute. Mm-hmm. You know, it focuses on Eggman. It's really all the writers seem, you know, they have a really good hold on Eggman. So just the fact that he's the main character, it focuses on him. You can't say it's bad.
That's true.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
And I feel like that's kind of that's an ongoing theme with a lot of these episodes. They're just fun. I mean, there are one. I haven't seen a Sonic Boom episode that, outside of the Buster one, that one just, I think the lack of logic confused me. There were so many, and I hate to use this term, but there were actual plot holes in it. And I know plot holes are, it's something people commonly use, but they don't use correctly. But I feel I was using it correctly when it comes to Buster. There are so many where just logic just doesn't make any sense. I know it's not supposed to make sense. They're robots and Hedgehog and stuff, but at least, anyway, I'm going off on Buster again. I'm sorry, baby Buster. From here on out, I actually haven't seen these episodes. Maybe 20 is a good episode to stop at for us right now. How do you feel?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, I can, because I've seen all the way through into late feet. That was the last one. Late fees. Let's Play Musical Friends does have some amusing, video game meta moments, but since you haven't seen it,
we could just
tease it and then we can expand on it in detail next time we visit the world of Sonic Boom.
Join us next time when we talk about episodes 21 and beyond. Right now, we're going to jump into talking about the comics. The comics are also ongoing. They've yet to be canceled. Then again, Sonic X ran a long time too. So there's no doubt in my mind that we'll see quite a few of these in the future. Especially, they have to release them with Worlds Unite. Right now, they are 7 episodes in. The first 4 form an arc, a very loose arc, which we did talk about last time. I don't believe the 4th issue had released yet, but we knew where it was heading. And the way they do it is, you know, they have one story, and at the very end, it's like, wait, what's that? What does Styx see? Read the next issue of Sonic Boom. So I wouldn't call it an arc so much. This one, though, the second arc, which lasted 3 issues, had much more of a connection. We had Eggtoberfest, which did you read this one?
Yeah, I read 5, 6, and 7, and because I just read 7 today, and the part about because issue 5, I'm trying to pull up the name and now it's not wanting to load up because issue 5 was the first issue that wasn't written by Ian Flynn, correct?
That's right. Yes. It was actually from one of the writers from the show, I believe.
Right, and I was trying to pull that up, and my computer decided to be stupid. Bill Freiberger.
Yes, Freiberger.
Yes, Freiberger. I mean, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his name, but yeah, he was the one that wrote issue 5, because they had announced early on that some of the writers of the television series would be writing for the comic book as well. And I would say issue 5 was probably the first issue that really felt like the show to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably has, you know, I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that it was written by someone who also wrote for the show.
True. And also issue 5 is when they started to introduce, and I mentioned this too, when we were talking about the first four issues, how secluded they felt. It was just the main characters and Eggman. It didn't really feel like the games. It didn't feel like the TV show. But now with Eggtoberfest, they start introducing locations from the show, secondary characters. I know we see the baby walrus that looks strangely like Rotor.
Rotor lives on in all timelines.
Exactly. So I like that the comics are starting to feature all these side characters, because then we could see a Dave issue.
We could see
a Comedy Chimp issue. In fact, Comedy Chimp's in a lot of the upcoming stories.
He's featured, because I know he's in 5. I know he's in 7. I'm trying to remember.
He's in 6. He's one of the racers.
Okay. Right.
And also, speaking of story arcs, the Eggtoberfest, it's kind of a self-contained story, but then it leads into Comedy Chimp saying, hey, why don't we have a race? Or I don't know how his voice is. And then we're doing a two-parter with issues 6 and 7, lovingly titled Everybody's Supersonic Racing, which I enjoy.
I know what that's from.
Yeah, that's from Mario 64, I think. Mario Kart. Anyway, so yeah, they have a kart racing tournament, and hilarity ensues. And it was also an enjoyable arc. I liked that we had two issues that directly connected the beginning of the race and the end of the race. And and you've read
these.
What'd you think?
Yeah. I liked them. They were both written by Ian Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill was just in the one. He was there setting it up. But these issues do feel a bit more like the show. You know, you have Comedy Chimp being one of the racers. You have some of the side characters sitting there watching the race. I mean, these three issues, I think, are pretty solid.
What do you think of the fourth wall breaking?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the seventh, right, it should be the seventh issue, really pushed on the fourth wall breaking. And I know that was, you know, one of the end jokes was Amy saying, hey, let's stop with all the fourth wall breaking. But it really just seemed like forced.
Yeah.
It wasn't as funny as it should have been. Like one, you know, little moments here and there, like issue 6 begins with Sonic tripping over one of the text boxes, and then that's kind of it. But issue 7, you know, he tries to grab onto one of the text boxes to stop his fall. Then he talks about how, oh, you know, it's been a month, ha ha ha, scheduling stuff is great. It was just a bit too much when 7 starts.
I kind of get that sort of, I kind of understand what Eddie Valiant was going through in Who Framed Roger Rabbit when he keeps going through his shtick, and you're like,
yeah.
I just feel sometimes when I'm reading it, I'm like, I'm at the point now where I'm like, Sonic, stop it. Please, Barry, I want to break the fourth wall. And I don't like when you grab my ears, Barry. So,
I mean, because I don't mind it every once in a while, but it has happened a lot, and I feel like it's happened more in these seven issues than say the first seven issues of the original Archie comic. Because even then it would be like the end of the story, then Sonic would be like, hey, you want to see more of this? Write in. Like, it wasn't as in your face, or maybe it was just written slightly better and Ian's not as great at doing fourth wall breaking as the early Archie writers were.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing too. We've talked about how the fourth wall breaking feels very much like early Archie. It's just not a bad thing, but it's just kind of like you need to do it in moderation, maybe like once an issue, one joke.
Too much. Now the thing about issue seven is that it does end sort of in the same way, like, hey, we're setting up something, but it's interrupted by the fact that issue eight has to tie into Worlds Unite, the whole crossover.
Right. And it sticks seeing a Genesis portal.
Ooh. So I'm guessing she's going to fall through that portal and land in regular Archie Sonic's lap, and hilarity and madness will ensue.
Yes, and that's what's upcoming for the next, I believe, three issues. We're going to be seeing, I feel like it might only be Styx crossing over as the only Sonic Boom. Nothing in the art has ever shown Sonic Boom Sonic meeting Sonic. Maybe that's something Sega stipulated. They said you could only have characters crossover who did not exist in the other, and since it's Eggman or Bot Cubot, I'm hoping it's not because of a stipulation from Sega, because that's really hurting them when it comes to the possibilities of Sonic meeting Sonic and Eggman meeting Eggman. Not eating, meeting. That would be a good arc.
Well, he's hungry, and he just sees the egg shape. He can't resist.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, because one of the staples of early Archie, I probably mentioned this last time, was, you know, they introduced the concept of the Cosmic Highway and all the alternate Sonics, and some of the more amusing or entertaining issues was when Sonic would meet other versions of himself. I mean, there was, Night of 1000 Sonics, you had the Sonic Underground crossover that happened. It was always interesting to see Sonic deal with himself, but in a different way. And the fact that it looks like Sonic Boom Sonic is not meeting the current Archie Sonic just seems like a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, just to see, you know, Archie Sonic witness the relationship between Boom Sonic and Eggman and comparing that to his own relationship with his Eggman would be something interesting, just because he doesn't have that weird buddy-buddy antagonist relationship with Eggman.
Yes, exactly.
His Eggman is a crazed megalomaniac who's taken over large swaths of the Earth, or Mobius, or whatever they're calling the planet now. You know, it's not like this small kind of battle on an island, but not really a battle, and it would just be kind of neat to see how he would react to that. But I know there's a lot going on in United, because you have all the Mega Man side of things, and then you're introducing the other Sega and Capcom franchises, and you have a lot to deal with. And maybe it's just Ian saying, I have too much to work with already. It's just easier to only have Styx there.
And if
that's the case, if it was just an executive decision on Ian's part, then I'm fine with it. But if it's Sega saying, hey, you can't have the two Sonics meet, then that's annoying.
Yeah. It should also be noted that the upcoming crossover issues, I never thought I'd see the day where the dragon from Panzer Dragoon is on the cover of a Sonic Boom comic. That's really bizarre. issue 10, I'm not one to buy variant covers, but issue 10 of Sonic Boom is probably one of the best covers. It has the Street Fighter, because there's Sonic Boom. So they play off that, and they have him doing a Sonic Boom in front of the logo Sonic Boom. And it's just this great drawing of, let's see, who did this? Riley Brown? Am I saying, maybe that's, Riley Brown. It has Sonic and the Mega Man characters at the bottom and all these Sega Capcom. There's Alex Kidd and, you know, all the characters that have been announced. But it's just a very cool cover, which is,
yeah.
I know people hate Sonic. There are people out there who hate Sonic Boom, but I posted this online and I did not hear anyone go, well, but you got to buy a Sonic Boom comic. Be better if it didn't have that logo on it. Can you retweet? Right.
But the fact that they're using Sonic Boom, that means the crossover will only take 3 months instead of four, like it did last time.
That's
which
true.
Is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'd rather, because the crossovers are fun, doing other things is fun, but when it starts taking up too much time and stretched out, it's a lot easier to take 12 issues in 3 months than it is four. And then you can get back to doing what you're doing in the main title. And then, you know, after 8, 9, and 10, then I guess issue 11 will pick up on the plot thread of, oh, I scanned everyone's head and I'm going to do something with that. And it will probably be resolved in issue 11 because that's how the comic seems to work. But
that's true. I'm sure Styx will be returning and she'll be talking nonsense. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, oh, there was Alex Kidd. There was, what is there? I don't know, Fire Emblem.
Maybe she'll fall in love with Alex Kidd. It'll be...
That would be cool. No, that would not be cool. What am I saying?
No, that would be terrible. I'm sorry I suggested it. But yeah, no, there's about 10 million variant covers. And
yeah.
It's because there's the regular cover, there's the variant covers, or like there's a main variant cover, and then there's the 12-part giant poster that's supposed to link together.
And then there are also the milestone issues, which will have several.
Right.
I know Sonic 275 is going to have an insane amount of covers, as will Mega Man number 50.
Right.
I'm just thankful that Sonic Boom number 10 is not being considered a milestone.
No.
They'd be like, we made it to 10 issues. We didn't think we would.
I should have counted to see how many variant covers there are, because... I mean, at $4 a pop, if you want every cover, you're investing a fair amount of money.
There are six covers for Sonic 275 and six for Mega Man number 50.
Okay.
So if you, and then there are also the battle issues, which have variant covers as well of sketch art. And I think they have three covers total. So,
right.
Yeah.
So if all the normal issues have three, the two anniversary issues have six.
Yeah,
that's a lot of covers.
Yes, that's a lot of money. Personally, I'd hold off until, I mean, I'd collect the 12 issues, but then I'd hold off until the big trade paperback, which is surely to have a big cover gallery at the end.
I would hope so.
But that's probably not releasing until next year or 2 years from now. So
yeah. I mean, I'll be picking up the individual issues and probably depending on what else I might be buying at the comic book store, if anything, will factor in on the alternate covers I get.
Tell them to put it
in. I got to save the scratch for, like, Star Wars. You know?
Exactly right. But enough about Star Wars. Let's actually look at this. We've moved through all of our comic news. This actually brings us to our conclusion. You know, now that we've learned all I think we can learn about the games are done, they're gone. I don't think they're ever happening again. The TV show ongoing may have a second season. The comics going, I don't know how they're going. I guess they're selling well.
Yeah. I think it would depend. Sonic X was around for 40 issues.
Yeah.
And I don't know when they stop, like, when the last episode of Sonic X aired in relation to the 40th issue. But I mean, it was on for a little over 3 years. I mean, it was published. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get another year or two of Sonic Boom comics, especially depending on how they stretch it out on the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But once the show's done, I won't expect it to be published much longer than that.
Yeah, and they are releasing trade paperbacks. The first one's coming out soon. The one thing that confuses me is if there's only three issues for the issues 5 through 7, I guess they're going to wait until issue 11 to have their fourth. But then if they pick up another story arc, then that's just going to confuse things. The only way you're going to get issues, the World's Unite issue, is in a separate paperback. So it's, I would say if you really, if you don't want to miss out on the comics, just get the individual issues, because I can't see Archie making a trade paperback for the entire series. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I would be surprised if by the time they're like, oh, it's done, if those last few issues get a trade, or if they'll just fade into obscurity. Because, I mean, Sonic X, none of those issues have ever been republished in trades, and I don't think any of them have been republished in, like, the digests or the Supersonic magazine. So mm-hmm. those 40 issues, even though issue 40 ties into the main comic and the launch of Sonic Universe, that issue hasn't been reprinted. Yeah. Even though it's like the second chapter in a, well, if you count Sonic Universe's first four-part arc, then I guess, what, a six-issue total story? Even though it even takes place a little bit before in the, I'm just going off into a thing. But yeah, the fact that Sonic Boom's getting traded at all is interesting. But I would err on the side of caution if you want everything Boom-related to just get the issue separately.
Yeah. So what's your opinion of the franchise so far as a whole, and what do you think Sega's current restructuring, how that might affect it?
When it comes to the game side of things, I think we're definitely done there. The restructuring is not going to allow Sega to go, hey, Big Red Button, come back, or hey, some other team, do you want to try and do a Boom?
Do a Boom.
Do a Boom. Yeah. I don't think the restructuring is going to have a lot of impact on the comic book, because I feel like all that's sort of autonomous, or not autonomous, but what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, you know, that the whole marketing, the licensing side of things,
that's all when it comes to the off comic of book, Sega's shoulders.
Right. It's all tied in with the deal they have already with Archie. The restructuring is not going to deal with that. And when it comes to the TV show, I don't know how much more involved Sega is there, but I feel like things are in motion. So people being laid off or leaving on their own volition and all of that, the extra media is just kind of off on their own thing. And the paring down of Sega of America really has, I don't think it's going to have any meaningful impact on the continued development of the show and or the comic. But the games, yes.
The toys. What do you think about the toys? We haven't mentioned those. They have shown up at trade shows. There is, I believe, the Tails biplane. They just call it Tails. They call it Tails is Plane, which kind of annoys me. Call it the Tornado. Come on. or the Cyclone. That recently released, they also revealed that there are variants of characters based on the episodes. I think there's characters covered in Buster's Green Slime, which I don't know who would want to buy that. there's like an alternate version of Eggman. I think either is from an episode I haven't seen or an upcoming one. So they're out there. They just recently hit the UK as well. So I could see the toys continuing for a little bit longer, but not that long. I don't think it's a very, it's a toy-friendly property, but I'm not really sure people are buying them.
Yeah, I think that people are still just going to gravitate more towards the other Sonic action figures that are sitting there from the ones that have been on shelves for a few years.
The Jazzwares ones.
Jazzwares.
They don't own the license anymore, however, they are still selling out there.
Yeah, I get the feeling what will happen with Boom is that you might see it on shelves for a while, but they're not going to produce new stock. It'll just be there. There's not going to be a huge rush. And when they're gone, they're gone. Unless something happens and they're like, oh, we are making a third game, so. another 50. Yeah.
You closet Sonic Boom Rise of Lyric fan.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, probably when these figures go on clearance, I might pick up a bunch, put them on display, be like, "Hey, look, Sonic has blue arms." I don't know.
Well, I think we'll end our third show on that note. A sad vision of the future where David has his shelf of discount Sonic Boom figures and he's showing them to younger generations. This is when he had blue arms.
Well, kids look at me like, "What's Sonic?" I'm like, "Well, you see, back in the day, there was a company called Sega. And Tom Kalinske, he tried. He tried so hard.
God darn it, he tried." So we will return sooner than later. I'm not sure if it will be as Boom Takalaka. It might be a special one-off Worlds Unite podcast where we talk about those issues. I think there might be a lot to talk about. As far as I know, there's no podcast that we operate that talks about that sort of thing. So
that's true. Although, who knows? Maybe in the future we will have very cool Sonic podcasts of all sorts.
Yeah, and we could be talking about Sonic.
Right, and we won't sound as unprepared as whenever we talk about Sonic Boom.
Yes, and of course, I forgot to mention too, this episode is brought to you by Del Taco. Head out there, ask them to dig around in the back and look for those Sonic toys. They're not giving them away anymore, but they might have some in the back. Just tell them Barry sent you. And they'll know what it means.
Right. And you can't go wrong. I mean, you got some really greasy quesadillas that you just gotta love, and they have breakfast burritos, and I mean, if you ask nicely, they might even draw Sonic and hot sauce.
Yeah, Fresco Bowl. So, that concludes our third episode. Hopefully there's a fourth. If you want to see a fourth, write in. segabits@gmail.com, subject line show me the boom, and just leave your comments, questions, concerns, wishes for fan games. You can even just have your cat walk on the keyboard, and that might be interesting. It might be more interesting than some emails I've gotten that people actually put thought into.
Proof that people have listened, proof that people are going, "Wow, are you sure you meant to release this yet?"
So from myself, Barry, from Segabits, thank you for listening. David, play us out.
Sonic Boom, Sonic Boom, Sonic Trouble keeps you running faster. That's all I got.
That works.